Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, Draft Knicks. Here we go. Welcome to another edition of Draft Nation's podcast. My name is Joe412, and again, I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes. Before we begin, as always, we'd love to thank our longtime sponsor, iHeartMedia, where you can find all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all for free. And for those of you who haven't listened to our show in the past, Draft Nation is a national e-magazine, and we hyper-focus on all four major sports and their professional drafts. This time of year is a sexy time of year for us. As you guys know, we're all ramping up for the NFL draft here coming up in just a little over 30 days as we start to wind our way to April 25th. And we'll talk a lot about football tonight with our guests. And, of course, we cover all aspects of player scouting, mock drafts, free agency, salary cap provisions, and, of course, the needs of your favorite team. And with me tonight, I have Khalid Coleman. Khalid is a former football player. He's now a coach, and he's also a player performance trainer. We'll get into that in a little bit. Khalid, welcome to Draft Nation. And are you ready to go on the clock?
I'm ready to go. I appreciate you guys for having me. I'm super pumped.
No, our pleasure, buddy. Hey, look, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your football experience, and then, of course, where they might be able to find you.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Philadelphia, born and raised. Went to Milton Hershey School, played football there in high school, and then played football at Indiana University of Pennsylvania and a little bit at Shippensburg. And then I started my own program called Athletes in Training, AIT, a sports performance program for athletes ages 10 through 18 in a college liaison program. So you can find us at athletesintraining.pa on Instagram, and you can find me at _callmecoachK. _ on Twitter.
Well, I will call you Coach K then. So Coach K, tell us a little bit about how you got into coaching. I mean, a lot of players love playing and they find coaching difficult or something that's not as attractive or reminds them of the days when they could play. Other people gravitate to it. I find that, you know, coaching, even, you know, little league and, you know, middle school stuff is a lot of fun. And as an ex-athlete, it's great to see these kids hit the ice, in my case, for hockey and, you know, and also for football. But how did you make the choice, to, after your playing days were done, to go into this profession? Is it something that was always a calling, or did you find yourself there by kind of falling into it and finding the right opportunities?
You know, after the playing days were done, you know, just the itch to continue to be in the game and the love of the game. So after I graduated from Shippensburg, it was COVID 2019. And I still had the love of the game and the fire underneath my belly, you know, to continue in the sport. And I came across Brett Colbert, who is the nephew of Kevin Colbert, who is the GM of the Steelers, actually. So a couple of people probably know that name. He gave me my first coaching job as a receivers coach at Greensboro Central Catholic. And then I met a guy named Mike Brown, who's a big name in the area, too, the head coach at Norwin High School, who got the head coach job at Hemphill High School and brought me on as an assistant head coach. And then from there, you know, I kind of just worked my way up the ranks and now have a new job that I'm accepting that I really can't, you know, spill the beans on yet, but I got a new role coming up here soon. So that's how
I So you say you're not going to break the story
started.
On Blog Talk Radio tonight, huh?
I mean,
get yourself in trouble before you even start.
I think we can release the info at the end.
All right, there you go. That'll be a teaser. Keep everybody listening, right?
Yep.
Sorry. So, but you have a unique perspective on this because you're not just a coach; you're also a sports performance guy, right? So, you know, how do you some coaches like Bill Cowher, for example, or Mike Tomlin, you know that they're just gritty. You know, heart and soul, passion for the game and stuff like that. But then there's specialty, you know, and on this show, because, you know, we do a lot of stuff, I mean, let's face it. We focus on a variety of things that people don't typically focus on. So our listeners and our readership on the magazine love to talk about things that are related to drafts. And of course, sports performance is a monster part of that. How did you find a specialization in that? And do you like that more than coaching or vice versa, or are they equal?
I mean, they're kind of equal, right? Because at the end of the day, you're helping an athlete reach a goal, right? And again, it kind of goes back to the love of the game. How can I stay in ball, right? So in my off time, get back in ball, you know, and get these guys to a level where they need to be. And sports performance is great, man, because you get to do one-on-ones, you get to do small groups, and, you know, it's just a fun time to help these athletes get to the next level. And I had, the pleasure to work with a lot of different high-level athletes who are now, you know, working their way into, you know, NFL draft boards.
Well, let's talk about a few of those. So, let's name drop for you a little bit here. So, and I find it funny because, you know, I think that the two biggest names that I'm aware of are a certain guy named Mr. White who plays for the West Virginia Mountaineers and a certain guy named Mr. Johnson who plays for the Pitt Panthers. And you're crossing the streams there, buddy. You're teasing on the backyard brawl. I mean, are you showing one a little bit more than you're showing the other, or how's that going? I mean, I know Kenny Johnson is a fan favorite in Pittsburgh, and of course, you know, Jaheim White is a big favorite, and people expect so much from him, from the Mountaineers. Yeah. And I know those are just a couple of names. So why don't you talk about the development of both those guys and what you've done for them and how that's impacted their performance on the field?
Yeah, so I met both those guys when they were 15 and they joined my program, my 7-on-7 program. And what they were able to do in on the field and off the field was, you know, develop their minds, you know, for college on the level of academics and what can I do after college. And they were able to develop those skills through college visits that we did and, you know, meeting different coaches and things like that. And then, obviously, the on-the-field aspect of traveling the country and competing against top-tier talent. So, you know, the on-the-field stuff and the off-the-field stuff, you combine that, you know, with me training these kids in the off-season, and you put all three together, you know, it kind of gets those kids ready to go. And Deem and Kenny were, you know, a prime example of that. They dominated, you know, on the field in the off season, and then they were very respectable guys with the coaches and building relationships. And now you kind of see a transition into their college programs. You know, Jaheim's a very respectable guy, loving, fun, you know, all over the camera, and you see the same with Kenny. And they're good guys off the field, and they're good guys on the field.
Well, you know, that begs the question. I mean, training, there's lots of things. There's the physical training, the physical aspects of it, of course. But do you also offer any kind of training for the mental aspects of the game? It sounds like you're there building these kids, their character, and preparing them for life beyond. I mean, do you see that as just as much of an aspect of your training to make sure that they're you know, prepared to be, you know, gentlemen and fathers and things like that as they move forward? And or, you know, are you just focused primarily on the physical side of things?
No, we're very focused on the mental side of things. And, you know, we believe, and it's just not me, I have a full staff of guys who all coach high school football. So that's a very pivotal part of it. And, you know, we believe that it's not, obviously the physicals are important, but it's the mentals and the off the field things that's going to separate you from your counterparts. Because when we're talking about Pitt, right, and they bring in 5 prospects for receiver, they're all going to be 6'2" to 6'4". They're all going to run a 4.4 to a 4.5. They're all going to have pretty good hands. They're all going to have all these intangibles, right? But what are you going to do once you get into the meeting room? What are you going to do once you get into the weight room? What are you going to do when you face all these off-the-field distractions, right? How are you going to separate yourself there? And that's what our guys have been able to really do, you know, is not only separate yourself on the field, but separate yourself in the locker room, in the film room, and off the field. And that's why they're such great guys.
Do you ever do anything on the women's side? I know that's been a big surge. I mean, I think in the last 10, 15 years, we've seen just a mainstream acceptance that women are athletes too. And with the emergence of, you know, from the Mia Hamms 10 years ago, all the way to the Caitlin Clarks from, you know, last week and today and next week's NBA draft, you know, do you also dip into training female athletes, or is that something on the list to do for you? Or, you know, where do you see yourself? Because I know you're primarily doing football stuff. And there's a little bit of that, but, you know, there are some real dominant female athletes in other sports.
Yeah, so, man, me and the buddies, we ooh and ah about Caitlin Clark, man. I love her, man. She's awesome, man. The way she hits those setback threes and stuff, it's like, geez. But, yeah, women's sports is on the rise.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I know. And it's the hot topic. You can't get out of it. It's a topic du jour, right?
Yeah, it's must-watch TV. And we are working on that right now. Now, it's been kind of hard because we've been so – you know, football focused, basketball focused, you know, a lot of like men's sports stuff. And we teased it a little bit this year, but we're going to go full force with it next year. And we're going to try to develop a girls flag league, and then take the best girls from that league and have them compete in like a national tournament that they have for us 7-on-7 girls. So
that would be fantastic.
We definitely want to get those girls involved, you know. As much as we can, because they're awesome, just like the men.
Well, I got to keep my wife away from you because she'll volunteer for your camps. You know, she's one of those athletes that just can't give it up. And we're a little older than you are, but she still plays her softball and you know four sometimes five times a week during the spring and summer. And you know, and if she knew you were having a flag football camp, she'd be out there coaching with a whistle in her mouth. So I gotta make sure she doesn't listen to this podcast. I'll take that one for the team. Keep it away from her.
And that's so, actually, and you mentioned camps, not to cut you off. You mentioned camps. Me and my staff were actually working the Jaylen Warren camp. It's run by Hard Knock Athletics. Hard Count Athletics. It's going to be at the Mount Tour Sports Complex, Jaylen Warren's youth camp.
When does that start, and how do people find that?
That is going to be on July 22nd. You can find it at hardcountathletics.com.
That's cool. That's real cool. And Jaylen, you know, he's a fan favorite here. He's the underdog, right? He was, speaking of draft shows, he was a guy that goes undrafted, and those are the favorite stories when these guys get on and they talk about the success they've had, even though they might not have gone in round one or even in round seven, right? And we've had a lot of those on the show. But you know, speaking of that and camps, you know, if I'm a father or a mother and I've got an aspiring D1 D2 athlete and they're listening to us tonight, what would be your biggest piece of advice to them in terms of the development of, like, when you look at an athlete and you're helping to develop them, you know, and you're trying to get them a scholarship to get to the next level, what's that big piece of advice? How do you guys handle that?
Yeah, so first is, like, evaluating, you know, what skill level they are, right? And then, like, you know, what size they are. You know, when we look at, like, college recruiting, the biggest thing you have to do is pass the eye test, right? And, like, a guy like Jaheim White was under-recruited because he didn't necessarily pass the eye test. So when we work with families, when I'm working with kids, you know, it's really just evaluating their talent and seeing, like, what level that I think they could play on and what level they think they could play on. And then, you know, kind of working together to put together a plan on how can they get there, what workouts they need to be doing, what trainers they need to see, and what camps they need to be going to. And, you know, that varies for each kid. So what kids need to be doing and parents need to be doing, though, they need to be going to camps that are run by colleges, you know, camps that have actual college staffs there, because a lot of times you get these camps who are just run by regular people, but there's no colleges there, right? Or it's ran by, a mouthpiece brand, and you got some type of sponsor, but there's no colleges there. So the only value you're going to get is actually a college staff there at these camps. So, you know, these little military All-American bowl games in Texas, I mean, there's 25 of them, you know, and they're selecting every kid. You know, that's not useful. You want to go to, you know, camps that have college coaches at them.
So they can be scouted and seen and evaluated and then told where they need to be and, where, you know, set benchmarks for them so they know, well, you know, how much they need to grow as an athlete or as a player at a certain position over the course of the next years or two. And I see that a lot. I mean, one of my favorite stories of all time is Dave Wonstead stole a guy out of Jersey named K'Wan Williams. And it was because K'Wan was only 5'8" at the time that anybody was recruiting him. So he was off of everybody else's radar. But by the time he had a growth spurt when he was 17, and by the time he got to to Pitt. He ended up being, you know, 6 foot, and now has had a 10-year career in the NFL, starting with the, you know, the San Francisco 49ers and beyond. And those kind of things you could never predict. And you see that all the time where kids are lauded for their ability and they're running through high school kids and they get to college and they hit a wall, or the other way around, where it's like a kid that no one expected to come out of nowhere. And it's kind of like a Rudy story, you know, where it's all of a sudden like, where did this kid come from? And so you could, but you're right. You could only be seen if there are eyes there to see you. And I think that's a great, great piece of advice to our, listeners and frankly, our readership too. And I thank you for that. But so what's, 100%. You know, what's the goals here? You've got AIT coming, you know, what's the goal with AIT? Where do you want to see it go in the next couple of years? What's the next step in the growth? And you know, do you see yourself going outside of Western Pennsylvania?
Yeah. So we're actually focused on moving to Harrisburg next year to get some of our Harrisburg athletes involved. And what we see for AIT is, you know, a statewide brand with multiple athletic programs in it. You know, we have football right now on the Western side for ages 10 through 18. We just started AIT East on the Philly side of things, with ages 10 and 12. Next year, they'll have 10, 12, 14s, and 15s. We have a basketball program, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th grade, that's sponsored by Under Armour. We're in talks for softball right now and then working on baseball. So, you know, we're our main goal is the development of athletes on and off the field, and how can we help them reach their goals at a fast pace and at the right pace, you know? So, you know, my biggest mission is to help athletes make the right decisions and not make the same mistakes I made, you know. So how can we make their transition from high school to college the easiest? And once they get to college and outside of college, how can we sustain those relationships to help our network grow?
So I have a, you know, and you'll see where I'm going. Just bear with me for a second. So one of my favorite interviews that I've done since we've started Draft Nation and its podcast was with a former NFL guy named Mark Parson. And Mark is – he's actually coming to our Pittsburgh Draft Night event at Stage AE. I know you're coming to that too, and I thank you for that. But
no,
Mark came on – yeah, and he told me this story about his draft day. And we always talk about draft days. And he said that he went to a camp – and this is a guy that was in college, played at Ohio University, and was thought of as a 5, 6, 7 round guy. So he went to Deion Sanders' cornerback camp. And when he got to the NFL Combine, he did worse than he did than he ever had done. He ended up going undrafted. But by a stroke of luck, the New Orleans Saints picked him up, and he ended up winning a Super Bowl, you know, because he played his way onto the team because he wasn't as bad as his performance. But, you know, and I say that because it's funny, and it's one of our more popular podcasts because of the story. But, you know, and also it ended with a happy ending, right? Here was a guy that got a second chance. But I also think that underscores, you know, good training versus bad training, and nothing against Deion's my favorite player of all time. I love the man. And I would, you know, if there was ever a number I would wear on my back other than mine, it would be Deion's 21. That said, sure. You know, do you see that too? Do you see, you know, if you had to warn parents about something and say, look, you know, make sure that your trainers are doing X and that they're not doing Y, what would those two things be? What would your X be and what would your Y be?
Well, so the biggest thing I see trainers not doing is, you know, honing in on the fundamentals, like the basic football movements or for whatever position they're training for, the basic movements and perfecting those movements. You know, if you can't perfect the basic movements, you can't go too far. Like, for example, if I'm a receiver, right, you know, I don't have to have the slide release and the hesitation and a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 move and all the extra stuff that comes with it, right? You need an A, B, and a C release. Marion talks about it all the time. He's an offensive coordinator for where is Marion offensive coordinator at UNLV? A, B, C release, real simple. All you need is 3 releases, and you can build off of that. So I think a lot of times people try to do a little too much and not, like, perfect the basic and the fundamentals.
I love your Brennan Marion. Yeah, I mean, that guy, you know, the go-go offense, the stuff that he was coaching, I mean, those are that's the nouveau stuff, right, that you see, you know, and, you know, kids like to play it. Coaches, especially college, like to run it because it provides – you know, offense, they can get their key matchups on guys that they want, and it's fast and it's fun. So I'm glad you mentioned him. Yeah, and he spent some time here in the city too.
Right, 100%. Shout out him. And then the other thing is like on the intensity, like you can't sugarcoat intensity and just work ethic and how you want things to get done. What I mean by that is when I coach and I train and we're in these environments with these kids, I kind of treat them like they're a college football player, right? Our whole deal is like a college mindset, college development, college program. So when I talk to these kids, you know, I talk to them if they're in a college mindset or a college setting. And it's intense. It's straight to the point. But it's preparing them for when they get to college, right? So when you get to college, your coach may talk to you in certain ways you may not like. But, you know, you have to be able to adjust to it. You have to be able to work through it. You have to be able to learn how to work hard and get things done. So I think that's how we've been successful in the past is, you know, just creating a college atmosphere from the college visits to training like a college athlete to talking to college coaches to going to college games. You know, creating that, like, atmosphere for our athletes so as soon as they get to college, it's a quick, easy transition. And that's why we have so many freshmen there.
Great piece of advice. Excellent piece of advice. So you teach the mental aspect of it, the maturity aspect of it, and preparing them to go to college. I mean, how big of a – is there a gap there with some kids? Like, they might have the ability, but they just don't have the mental fortitude or the aptitude to do it?
Well, it's just about creating the mindset and, like, the want to. And, like, if you want this football stuff, you better work like an NFL guy now. Because if you don't, there's so many resources out there for kids now that there's going to be a 10-year-old that's working like an NFL kid every day because he has the resources. And if you don't work like that, by the time you get to college, that kid who was working like that the whole time, his mindset is going to be completely different. So once he gets there, he's going to be completely different from you. And you're going to be the same athletically, but he's going to be on a different path mentally, and he's going to separate. And if you interview a lot of NFL guys, you know, you get the sense, or they tell you, they knew what they wanted early on, and they worked hard at it, right? And very hard at it. And that doesn't come easy, right? So there's a difference, you know. Guys don't go to the NFL to just go to the NFL. You legitimately have to work your tail off on and off the field to kind of get to that level. And that's kind of why our kids have been successful. I'm telling a guy like Messiah Mickens, the number one running back in the state, who I was with this weekend, Lex Cyrus, a four-star who won the state championship in 100, who has Oregon and Georgia, Elias Polk, who has 20 offers just got an offer from Notre Dame, who were all in my car this weekend, and I'm telling them, you know, you guys got to be NFL guys now. You guys are worth $1 million right now, especially with NIL. So your mindset has to be, you know, an NFL guy right now. And if you're not on that and on that mentality, then you're going to phase out and just start getting really ready for a 9-to-5, you know. And not saying that lightly, I tell my guys to get ready for a 9-to-5 anyway, even if they're preparing for the NFL. Because they have to use football as, you know, a tool to network to be successful in life, not football as if I'm just going to the NFL, right? So that's kind of what our program's all about right there.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I mean, you make 2 points there I'd like you to comment on. I mean, the first is, you know, this is temporal. You know, this is something that doesn't last forever, and whether they play in the league 10 years or 2 months, you know, they got there. That's an achievement in that respect. But, you know, the other thing you mentioned, which I find interesting, is NIL. We weren't talking about that at the amateur level at 15, 16, 17 years of, you know, of age just a few years ago, and now it's a real thing. You know, I think Arch Manning and, Ewers from Texas, when he went to his first NIL deal, he was still in high school and he was offered $8 million to play at OSU. You know, how is that affecting your camps? How is that affecting your coaching? Have you seen that? I mean, obviously, it sounds like it did this weekend, and you gave these kids some great advice. But, you know, how has NIL impacted you and the folks at the level in which you're coaching and training right now? Is that, you know, upsetting the apple cart? Right. Or do you see this, you know, providing opportunities for kids, or is it just too much for them to handle at that age?
No, I think it's a great opportunity for kids. You know, a couple of our kids have already received NIL deals, and, you know, it helps these kids. Some of these kids don't have, access to some things that other kids have access to. So, you know, I see it as a good thing right now with the NIL, and our kids have benefited from it, and I see it going very far, man. I see no cap to this NIL world, and I feel like it has somewhat made the kids, you know, more in tune with the social media and making sure their presence is better on the social media. I think it's a great thing, you know. If we're going to be on our phones and use it for a good use, and use it to make money and to make money off their brands. I mean, these guys, essentially, now I really think about it, like, it's a beautiful thing, right? You're asking for these guys to put their life on the line for our enjoyment, because everyone in America loves football. I mean, we're talking about football on a podcast. People love football, but we don't realize that these athletes are putting their life on the line to play football. So I think it's a great opportunity for them to earn money on the side, outside of whatever they're getting through the school, through scholarship, or through their contracts, wherever they are.
Yeah, sorry about that. We had a little technical glitch there. But all I was saying is we're down to about a minute left here, and while we have that minute, I want to give you the floor to tell everybody where they can find you, how they can find your camps, and tell them a little bit more about where they can reach you on places like social media.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at underscore call me Coach K underscore, and you can also find my athlete and training page at athletesandtraining.pa on Instagram, and athletesandtraining.pa on Twitter as well. And my camps, I have camps that coming in the summer. We don't have dates out on that, but if you go to our Instagram, we'll have more information about our camps and sign-ups for our 7v7s. If you ever need to get in contact with me, just go to our Instagram and shoot us a DM, and I'll get right back to you. I just want to say thank you to Draft Nation for having me on.
No, it's been my pleasure, man, and big thanks to